Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Focus on Albany. I'm Cynthia Poole. My guest today is Steve Greenfield. And Steve is going to talk about the nursing home situation and Andrew Cuomo. Steve, this really got your goat the other day. Can you give us a little background of why this is so upsetting to you?
Yeah, well, you know, I'm hoping that in the course of this that we make a transition from why it's upsetting to me all the way to why it is just, you know, upsetting as a matter of principle within the, you know, conduct of democratic government. Because, you know, what, you know, originally, going back to the beginning of the pandemic and New York State's actions under Andrew Cuomo's direction, you know, we were aware that there had been decisions made that very likely increased the death rate among the elderly and particularly concentrated in nursing homes and hospitals to which nursing home patients were being transferred into and then back to the nursing homes while sick, right? That was documented from the beginning, and questions were being asked while that was happening about whether that was really making things worse. I think by May, only about a couple of months after the decision was originally made, Andrew Cuomo reversed that decision about requiring, the one that was about requiring nursing homes to accept readmissions of sick people being dismissed from hospitals. So that's where this started, right? Where the information was known, okay? And then the decision was reversed, and there were inquiries being made by the press, and it turns out also by the Federal Justice Department in Washington about the numbers that were involved. How many people were moved? How many died? You know, where was the, you know, follow the course. And this is also something, of course, that would be of interest to epidemiologists, right? Learn what happened. Can we use this information to do better, you know, in the future, right? So there's a lot of reasons why this data needs to be discussed. And there are also, you know, a lot of reasons why it's public information, right? I mean, you know, this is something that was a policy decision by government officials. It was ordered by the governor. The state legislature has the full constitutional power under the constitutions of New York and the United States to review the consequences of policies so that they can make adjustments and choose funding and all kinds of things like that. There's no lack of clarity about the absolute involvement of the state legislature, and the fact that all public policies, everything pertaining to public policies that do not involve naming personnel and getting into personnel issues, are available under the Freedom of Information Act to the press. Right? That these are just laws. These are constitutional provisions and laws that are inviolable. So then we found out that from an Associated Press report back in the summer, in midsummer, in July or August, the Associated Press went public with, they had done an investigation to the best of their ability of the numbers and found that the death tolls at the nursing homes seemed to be quite significantly higher than what Andrew Cuomo and his immediate staff had been reporting at the press conferences and to all, you know, private press inquiries. That in turn then prompted an investigation from the Office of the New York State Attorney General, Letitia James, a formal, you know, and proper state investigation, in which it was found and announced formally that the numbers were in fact dramatically undercounted, and that the undercounting seemed to have been done deliberately and was not simply a consequence of a methodology chosen to count that produced, you know, an undercount, and that a better methodology would have produced more accurate results. She did specifically state that the undercounting was deliberate. That was then followed by a court ordering that the information, that the data information be released press, right? Cuomo was still in court trying to prevent this information from reaching the press, and a court order was given that the press could access that information. Then, basically, the other day, in back-to-back announcements, first the Associated Press did a follow-up report that showed that 9,000 sick patients had been moved from hospitals into nursing homes, and that that number was about 40% more than Andrew Cuomo had publicly reported had been transferred from hospitals back to nursing homes. And then just a few hours later, somebody involved in a phone call, a group phone call that was done by a top aide to Cuomo to a group of Democratic Party state legislators, members of the Assembly and Senate, who were asking questions, you know, I guess trying to figure out, you know, how do you control the damage, and what information were we denied that prevented us from effectively exercising our role in oversight over these proceedings? Because, you know, as you're seeing right now, a lot of the anger coming from legislators, even within the Democratic Party, is that based on what they believed was the success of Cuomo's operation in controlling the spread of COVID-19, they granted him broad emergency powers. They basically granted him the power to make all decisions individually without having to get approval for things not necessarily in a non-emergency under the governor's control and requiring budget appropriations, right? So they, on okay. trust, they had granted him these powers, and now they felt that had been violated and that they had granted the powers on false information. And at the same time, okay. Just to complete the thought, just to complete the process of how okay. we got to where we are, at the same time, the content of this phone call was leaked to the press, and it proved that the reason that the information was not being delivered to the state legislature and to the press accurately and honestly was because of Cuomo's concern that the Trump administration would use the information to undermine him. And that is the absolute illegal nature of what happened, right? To have denied reports to the Department of Justice, to have denied reports to the state legislature, and have denied, and to deliberately have, not just to hold it back and try to keep it from getting out, but to deliberately and repeatedly deliver false information to make it look like the problem was not of the magnitude that it was, and that they delivered this false information specifically to prevent, public, legal, formal public oversight over what was happening. That's criminal. We've now got a criminal governor openly, shown. That's the smoking gun right there, openly shown. That this was organized conspiratorial and criminal behavior. The man absolutely has to be impeached, removed from office, and charged with these crimes, because thousands of New Yorkers died because this information was not available for other people to process, or even for the families themselves to make a decision. Do I want to bring my elderly parent home, or are they safe at the nursing home? Like, the magnitude of what has happened and the number of crimes potentially committed is so huge that, it has to be attended to on that basis. You know, this is the government of the state of New York that we're talking about here.
Okay, I have a number of questions. I became aware of it because the Attorney General, New York State Attorney General James, released a statement about it. Now, three years ago, when Letitia James ran for Attorney General, and there were a number of candidates in the race, and the front runner seemed at that point to be Jeffrey Teachout. And Cuomo did not want Peach out because of this stuff that she, you know, would without hesitation talk about. So, you know, he kind of made sure that James won with the accomplice of Sean Patrick Maloney. So, you know, Letitia James won. Now, do you think that there is very hard feelings between James and Cuomo?
No. As a matter of fact, this is exactly the problem that many of us were talking about when Andrew Cuomo started actively campaigning for Letitia James in the Democratic primary. One of the the most important thing to know about Zephyr Teachout, so that you can understand why Andrew Cuomo so much didn't want her to become Attorney General of New York, is that just like Elizabeth Warren came to prominence back in 2009, because her specific field of expertise that she taught at Harvard Law School was banking law.
Right.
Zephyr Teachout's area of expertise, and she was a professor at Fordham Law, is government corruption. Like, that's her field. That's, you know, she's not here. You know, her expertise is not in, like, you know, breaking up drug gangs or prosecuting, you know, the mafia, or I mean, I know she would have been capable of all of that stuff because it's a large office full of people with you know, the appropriate subspecialties, you know, in corp malfeasance investigation and stuff like that. Zephyr Teachout's calling card was government corruption. That's her personal field of expertise. That's why she got 30% of the primary vote when she ran for governor against Andrew Cuomo and lost in that race. Now, you've recall going back to, you know, 2010, you know, when Andrew Cuomo won and he got sworn in January of 2011, he claimed he was going to be acting very aggressively against public corruption, which had become a little too obvious over the few years leading up to his election. And he had been the Attorney General of New York immediately prior. That's the office he was leaving to become governor. And mm-hmm. so he formed, you know, a Moreland Commission under New York state law to investigate public corruption, make recommendations. And then he shut the Moreland Commission down. You know, it was getting
right.
close to him. There was the Buffalo Billions thing, public contracts awards, potential scandals. He actually closed down the Moreland Commission before it issued its report. He was using it as smoke and mirrors to be able to get kind of public support on an anti-corruption agenda. But it should have been obvious to everyone, was obvious to, you know, all astute observers, you know, that he closed it down, and that he closed it down for a reason. And so this was a real threat to him to have a renowned legal expert on government corruption becoming the Attorney General. Now, there was always mm-hmm. a conflict of interest with Cuomo campaigning during the primary for Letitia James. It is fine for people in a party to campaign during the general election. You know, if you don't want the Republican to win, whatever, fine. Okay. But the issue during is that the Attorney General's office needs to be independent of any other office. It needs to be independent of the state legislature. It needs to be independent of the governor in how it chooses what it's investigating and how it reaches its conclusions, because obviously they will be called upon to investigate these other components of state administration, right? And so if the state legislature, for example, could slash funding to the Attorney General's office if they don't like what's being investigated, that's a problem. Similarly, if the Attorney General owes her election to the intervention of the governor, then we as the people of New York have to question, you know, is her loyalty to the law, or is her loyalty to the person who made sure she got elected? And so we already mm-hmm. have seen that that there was a conference held. Cuomo met with James after she issued that report. and pressured her to retract certain elements of it. I have not gone yet to look at exactly what ended up redacted, but you know, there can be no collusion between the executive and the attorney general. I mean, that just totally abrogates the entire purpose of having an attorney general in the first place. So we have a condition in this state. And yes, Sean Patrick Maloney, member of Congress in the lower Hudson Valley, who, like Cuomo in the 90s, was part of the Clinton administration and their buddies, right, from that wing of the party and from having worked together in the Clinton administration in the 90s, as how they both arose to the upper echelons in Democratic Party politics and their current positions in elected office, worked with Cuomo to ensure that. And so that debt between them exists and compromises, the efficacy of Letitia James to be an independent prosecutor in this setting, and so she needs really right now to, recuse herself and appoint a special prosecutor to investigate Andrew Cuomo, a completely independent. She needs to request the intervention of a federal prosecutor, operating in the appropriate district in New York, and announce that, she has conflicts of interest and that this investigation is being turned over to some kind of independent prosecutor. I don't know the exact nature of, does the legislature have to approve that happening or what, but we can't even expect a thoroughgoing investigation into this smoking gun phone call, because obviously that she was admitting freely to all people on the call that the withholding of the information was by design and was intended specifically to have a political effect, for their protection, that they were protecting themselves and their position from investigation by publishing false information about the questions being asked. So the smoking gun is there.
I've got another question. You had written on Facebook about Cuomo's desire, or his manipulation, I should say, of the fact that he eliminated the Green Party from being a viable party in New York State. Does that tie into this nursing home situation?
Yes, it does. And not just the Green Party, but also the Libertarian Party. I'm not a member of the Libertarian Party, but I certainly support their right and the importance of their right to also stand for election in this state, because what the Green Party and the Libertarians, what they have that distinguishes them from the other minor parties and the two that survive that only run Democrats and Republicans, is that the Libertarians and the Greens are the two parties that openly advocate for systemic change. Right. I mean, about structural change for how the government operates and how the economy functions, towards what purpose, these things function. And that's an actual critically important thing to consider. Our system, such as it is, denies access to the ballot to anybody who is interested in structural change. That's not the same thing as saying, Republicans are anti-abortion and Democrats are pro-choice, right? That doesn't in and of itself change anything about how the overall system is oriented and how it functions on a for-profit basis, and how that for-profit basis determines the distribution of wealth, and how the distribution of wealth determines our access to our basic rights. These are actually important conversations to have, right? Because we all have a right to a lawyer, but unless you can afford $800 an hour, you're not going to get a very good lawyer. And the system,
right,
distributes the profits of our economy in such a way that only a tiny percentage of the citizens can afford a good lawyer, which creates the effect overall of the rest of us not having the same rights as the people who distribute the greatest share of the profits to themselves. So it's not simply a matter of like, oh, do they want to be socialists? Do they want to be anarchists? Do the libertarians want to eliminate government and eliminate stop signs and all the other nonsense that people say? That's not the issue. The issue is that the Greens and the libertarians are the only people speaking to the structural issues that create the other problems. The Democrats and the Republicans only speak to sort of managing the sharp edges that the system has, you know, buffing down a little bit of the sharpness of the edges, whereas the other parties say it's not the edges of the system that are the problem. It's the system itself, right? And so they agree that people asking those questions and promoting those kinds of changes to be available at the ballot booth be denied access to the ballot booth. And when you're denied access to the ballot booth, that means you're also not being invited to the debates. When the public watches the debates, the press and the two candidates from the major parties debate the issues as they want the public to see the issues, right? There'll be nobody standing at a podium talking about how the problems are generated by the structure and aren't just the rough edges around the structure. So that's been denied. Mm-hmm. So, of course, there is a direct connection between how the system decides who is denied access to the system, you know, and how the system is operating. They don't want anybody, you know, standing next to them and saying, no, that's, you know, you're actually directly responsible for this. You know, you're not only are you not going to be solving it, you're directly responsible for it. To be able to say that right in front of the public, that access is now denied. And you're denied that access also means that the media won't be covering you in any other settings because you're not important. You are not in the process. So, you know, this is something you and I have discussed so many times, which is that there's no difference in between the Democrats and the Republicans in their intent to restrict democracy. The only difference is in which specific techniques they use to suppress it. You know, so if you're a Democrat, it's easy to see what the Republicans are doing. You could say, oh, they're trying to suppress the black vote, right? Or, you know, you can see that. You can lay it right out there. So that's the Republican system. And you could say, oh, that's because black people tend to vote for Republicans, right? Whatever. You know, and if you're a Republican, then you can also see what the Democrats are doing to deny access to democracy, but you can't see what your own party is doing, right? So it's great. They're both doing the exact same thing, but both sides only believe the other side is doing it. And so by the denial of the Green Party and the Libertarian Party from access to the system, there's nobody saying, actually, they're both doing it, and they're both doing it the same amount. They're just doing it with different mechanisms.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the reality. And
do you think this story has legs?
Do I think what?
Do you think this nursing home story has legs?
Yes. Yes, I do. And, you know, I'm going to be personally playing a role in making sure that it does. You know, I'm going to be communicating. Green Party already put out a press release calling for Cuomo's impeachment. You know, obviously the Republicans aren't going to let this lie down because this is their only hope of winning elections in New York, because we have like at least a 5-3 voter enrollment advantage to Democrats in this state. And so if they have any hope of achieving any kind of electoral success in this state, they're going to have to push this really hard. But then it's going to be important for people like me, who are not aligned with Republican ideology or Republican interests in power, to say, hold on a second, this is not a partisan issue. It's not like Republicans think this is criminal and Democrats don't, because it's just the normal struggle for power, that this is a matter of the law, and that, you know, that the laws have been broken, and that we can't be arguing that Trump should be impeached and then say, but Andrew Cuomo shouldn't be impeached. You know, the Trump impeachment was based on a very, not the current one, but the earlier one with Ukraine, was based on some very vague and highly interpretive information that could never have achieved a level of proof, you know, that's considered in a standard of conviction in court. Whereas this is absolutely right here and done with intent, as is now recorded by the very officials who did it. So, you know, this has to move. This can't be allowed to just lay there. And I'll say something to Democrats. What's that?
We just have a couple of minutes left, but let me go back to the failure of Mario Cuomo to win a fourth term. I think at that point, the possibility of the Republican Party being a little more viable than it is right now. The Republican Party is, you know, down on its last legs. It's hardly breathing. So Cuomo will be up for re-election pretty soon. I don't see anybody up and coming in the Republican Party that could even beat him. So do you think that even though there might be, this issue might be controversial, he has the possibility of running and winning for a fourth term?
No, not at all. This is so bad that the Republicans can actually win if they don't address it internally and you know, viably from inside the Democratic Party itself. There actually are people in this state that are Republicans that have a degree of sort of, you know, cross-partisan recognition. They are out there. I will name one, which is our former Congressman Chris Gibson, currently
right.
President of Siena College up by you. They will win. I'm going to just state this flat out. If the Democrats don't take care of this right now and give themselves 2 years to bring somebody into viability, this is what's going to give us a Republican governor. And it may not be someone as cross-partisan and honorable as Chris Gibson. You know, it may be, Rob Astorino. You know, it may be a truly reprehensible person that will create discord and disruption in state operation for at least the subsequent 4 years. And the Democrats will be at fault if that happens, you know, for not addressing criminal executive abuse.
So, Steve, on that note, we've got to close. But I want you to give yourself a plug on your new radio show.
Sure. Please go to YouTube and look up a channel called This Is Who We Are with Steve Greenfield. Go on Facebook and look at a page called This Is Who We Are, hosted by Steve Greenfield. Please subscribe to those pages. And if you have a Pacifica affiliate in your broadcast radius, please contact them and ask them to pick it up on their station, because it is being produced and archived on their content website.
Thanks, Steve. We shall talk again. You've been listening to Steve Greenfield. I'm Cynthia Pooler. This is Focus on Albany. And if you like the show, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. Thank you. Have a great day.
You too. Thank you.